Oh goody, it's that time again. The food maven graces us with his presence to end October and segue into November. Hello, food maven.
It is. Tomorrow is Halloween.
All Hallows Eve. I am so, I never, you know, I, okay. All right.
It's not my holiday. Let me just start by saying, when I was a boy and I walked to Hebrew school every afternoon after regular school, it was very tempting to go trick-or-treating on Halloween. And we were warned in Hebrew school not to do that because it's a Christian holiday. So I've never been, you know, in the whole
costume. So that's hilarious.
It was never my...
but just hold on one second, because it's a satanic holiday.
Of course it is. Let me say, you know, we can a lot of pagan things have become Christian, Jewish, and Islamic holidays.
No, not Islamic.
That's
not
why we're talking today. Today we're trying to escape.
Okay.
I am, anyway.
All right.
You know, I have to, I think I said this last week, but I'll say it again. Nick Stellino, who's a very engaging man and really good cook, is doing a lot of demonstrations on the internet. I see him on Facebook. I don't know where else. But the other day he said, you know, everything is so horrible out there that I really am more than ever focused on my kitchen and cooking.
And that's so, I think that's great. I think that's healthy. And I think
it's healthy, yeah.
And not only that, is you not only do you have control over it, you know, so like you can turn the oven on or turn the oven off, but you also know what's happening, so you're not being, you know, distorted into this odd reality. You know, the cup of flour is the cup of flour. If you knock it over, then you get to clean up the cup of flour.
Oh, that's happened.
Oh yeah.
Anyway, I have, this is a confession. About 6 or 8 months ago, I got a craving for French's. I don't even know what they call them. I think they just call them crispy onions. They come in a box. My grandmother used to snack on these while she was watching television. I always had this image of her sitting on her red leather love seat, wasn't a full-size couch, watching television and doing some needlework.
Right, either needlepoint
or knitting.
Yeah.
She knit a lot, too.
Okay. Aunt Ro,
but she couldn't have eaten. I don't know where these onion rings came in, because as I was eating them, I said, "You can't do that and eat these greasy, deliciously greasy, but greasy onion rings." Or they're not rings; it's just shards of onion that have been coated with flour and fried, and they're really good, and salt, and that's all that's on them. There's nothing strange in there.
But I have a question.
So I go to the supermarket thinking, you know, this product might not even exist anymore. I haven't had it in 40 years probably, and maybe more. And it was never my thing, but it was my grandmother's thing, and for some reason I decided I had to have them. So I go to the supermarket, and not only did they have them, but they were on sale. So I thought, well, this is in Yiddish Bescher. This is meant to be. That I eat these onions, and they were as delicious as I remember them. And I have since bought another one or two boxes of them. I really have to dole them out in small portion to snack with an aperitivo in the afternoon, but I because I really could go crazy with them.
All right. Well, so, first, I have one quick question before. Do you think that when French's was putting them out, you know, how many years ago was it with your grandmother?
Well, my grandmother died 42 years ago.
So your recollection of him, okay, so let's just say 70 years ago. Do you think it's entirely possible that they were less greasy?
I just wanted. If anything, I would think they were more greasy.
Okay.
They're not that greasy. I don't want to give the impression.
Oh,
that
I'm not being phobic. I'm just thinking about the needle point.
But most of the calories in them come from the oil they're fried in.
Right.
But that's another story.
Okay.
So anyway, I'm in Costco the other day, and they are selling big bags of these. the large container of the French is 6 ounces. This is a 24-ounce bag. And it may be because we're coming up to Thanksgiving, and so many people make the famous string bean and mushroom casserole with topped with the crispy onions. I don't know. I'm going to go get a second bag because we're not going to go through these that fast, but the bag says they're good for a good long time, and they probably won't be there forever. By the way, I'm looking at the bag right now, OU. So on the back of the bag is a recipe for the famous green bean casserole. Oh, by the way, the Costco is selling something called Fresh Gourmet Crispy Onions. And they say, it says on the bag, great on salads, burgers, casseroles. I would agree with all of that. So on the back is a recipe for the famous casserole. However, it's a totally from scratch recipe. You know, the old recipe that everybody makes still is either frozen or canned string beans mixed with a can of Campbell's cream of mushroom soup, dumped into a casserole and baked until it's nice and bubbly and hot, and then topped with these onions. And you know what? It's really good. I don't like the taste of canned string beans, but I could deal with it if it's frozen string beans. By the way, I always remember it being with what we call Frenched beans, meaning they were cut lengthwise. And I used to have a gadget that did that, or at least, you know, aided in doing that, because it was tedious work even with a gadget. But I can't find it. So I decided to make this, and they don't instruct you to cut them in any way. So I made it exactly as the recipe said, and I'm going to tell you what it is right now, except that one difference is that I think that it's an error to use as much flour as the recipe tells you to make your sauce. And so I'm going to give it to you with the revised quantities, a little bit. So the bag, the bag contains a lot of these. So you're going to make, if you're making a jumbo casserole, meaning a 13-by-9-inch dish, I use one that's slightly smaller because it's 12 inches long, but it's oval. So I liked it because it gave it a little depth. You don't want a casserole dish that's going to make it into a thin layer. What you really have to start doing is making your mushroom soup base. So I use 1/2 pound of mushrooms, sliced thin, sautéed in 4 tablespoons of butter until they started to get limp, and then I threw in 1/4 cup of finely minced shallot, and stirred that around for a few more minutes. And then, following the directions on the bag, which I thought were clever, I pushed the mushrooms aside to one side of the pan. By the way, I used a very large skillet. I guess it's a 14-inch skillet, my largest skillet. And I pushed the mushrooms aside and melted on the other side another 4 tablespoons of butter. It's a very buttery dish, which is why we all thought it was so delicious.
I bet.
Anyway, when the butter melts, use 1/3 cup of flour and make a little roux on the non-mushroom side of the pan till it bubbles up nice for about 1 or 2 minutes. And then you can push the mushrooms into it and then cook it all together for 1 or 2 minutes. I like to season my mushrooms with nutmeg, salt, and pepper. That's all. And you're going to have a bubbling away for 2 minutes. And then the liquid is going to be 2 cups of milk and 2 cups, or let's start with 1 cup, like the recipe says, and I did, and then I added more as I needed it. So add 2 cups of milk and 1 cup of broth to make a nice, thick sauce, and it will be thick, with the mushrooms in it. Let it perk away there for a couple of minutes. And if it is looking too thick, add a little bit more broth. It should have the consistency of cream of mushroom soup. When that's all done, and you can do that part ahead, by the way, you're going to add the string beans. I use 1.5 pounds of string beans. I know, they're called green beans these days. But
yeah,
I'm
glad
old.
It's clarified.
No,
I always think of them as, I'm not claiming I'm old, I'm just saying I'm always thinking of them as string beans.
As string beans. Well, as I was cleaning these up, and this came up with a friend of mine the other day. He said, my wife keeps telling me I have to take off both ends of the bean. And I always say, but I go to restaurants and I see they leave that little tail on the bean. I said, I think I would agree with your wife. It's nicer to have it topped and bottomed. But I do see that chefs these days never learn. They learned from Julia Child not to cook the string beans too much, but they didn't learn that she always topped and bottomed them. So
yeah,
as I was bottoming these, I realized a lot of them don't have bottoms anymore. And the ones that did, I think it's a vestigial from when they were literally string beans, meaning you could snap that off, and actually there was a string attached to it that went down the spine of the bean. But they have hybridized that out of the beans.
And I think there's something else to it too. And this is an embarrassing story that I tell as often as I can. And it took place in New York, and it was for a dinner, and I was in charge of the veg, and I thought, you know, I'll just bring everybody haricot vert. And this was this was some decades ago, but nevertheless, I went into Grace's Marketplace, which was in what 71st or something and 3rd, if that's right, but right around there, and I, you know, eyeballed enough haricot vert for dinner. And you took him to the scale, and she said, that'll be like $60, please. And I said,
You know, Grace was Grace Balducci.
Yes, I know, and Baldor.
And her father, the original Balducci, I'm sure was turning over in his grave. Anyway,
I didn't buy them.
Expensive, though.
I didn't buy them.
Jill. So, yeah, well.
I went back and got regular green beans.
If you see them for $3.99 a pound, okay. That's not crazy. That's sort of what they can be these days. I mean, I would rather they be $2.59 a pound. Anyway, whatever. I bought 1.5 pounds, and I cleaned them up by washing them. I'm going to give you a very specific thing here, because if you want to time it the way I time it, I've had four quarts of water to a rolling boil with, I would say, a heaping teaspoon of salt. And I put the washed string beans in the pot, and I counted 5 minutes. So they're not going to come back to the boil right away. They're not going to come back to the boil for at least 2 or 3 minutes, but then you're going to get a full 2 minutes of rolling boil. And by that time, they'll be crisp tender, but cooked, not the way the recipe on the back of the bag said. Because if I could tell by the way, this is a well-written recipe, especially for the back-of-the-bag recipe. It had detail that most of these recipes don't have. It had pictures. It was very well done, except I could tell right away that it's somebody very young because they barely cooked the string beans. We like our string beans fully cooked. So I didn't cook them just 2 minutes. I cooked them 5 minutes. And I let them drain, but I did not chill them in ice water, as the package said to do, which I thought was totally ridiculous. And then you put these cools, they can be hot, string beans, in the hot mushroom cream base, and pour that into your casserole, and you're done. If you want to do that ahead, go ahead. You can make it the day before and put it in the refrigerator and then just stick it in the oven. I think that's what most people do, because it's a recipe that I'm sure was devised by Campbell Soup, because it uses cream of mushroom soup, and I don't think it was devised by a string bean company, since there is no such thing. Well, I guess you could say, you know, it was a green giant, but I don't think so. Anyway, it turned out great. Got it. Oh, and the one thing that the reason I think it's a young person is because there's way more flavor here than needs be, and I think it takes the focus away from the delicious cream of mushroom, and mainly it's garlic. She's got like 4 cloves of garlic here. I didn't put any garlic in at all, and she also uses rosemary and thyme, and quite a lot. I would never put those in. And she did use also a grated Parmesan cheese. So Parmigiano Reggiano, I always have that on hand. 3/4 of a cup of that in this cream of mushroom sauce, whatever you want to call it, really was divine. Hmm. It really was good. And after it's in the oven, she said for 30 minutes. Mine didn't take that long. After it's in the oven and bubbling away, I would say 350 degrees, as she says. I keep saying she. It could be a who devised this recipe. When it's bubbling away, you use 1.5 cups of these fabulous onion crisps and sprinkle them over the top and put it back in the oven for another 5 to 10 minutes. And they'll mix in crisp with the creamy mushroom top, you know, sauce, and we hope fully tender, but still green and nice green beans. And I must say, it's truly a glorious dish when you do it from scratch. So I'm decided I have to do more back of the box investigation. And I ask a friend, is there any back-of-the-box or dish that you suspect is a back-of-the-box recipe that is a tradition in your family? Because, by the way, he knew nothing about the string bean casserole, and we never had it in my family either, but I knew about it. And he said, oh, yes, strawberry pretzel pie or strawberry pretzel salad. I'm not sure what my mother called it. Now, Jill, have you ever heard of strawberry pretzel salad?
No.
Well, neither had I, but I went online only to find that we are the only two people on Earth who never heard of strawberry pretzel salad. Well, actually, I didn't ask a lot of my acquaintances either, but certainly by the number of recipes and opinions about it online, I would say that it's really popular in America, just not in our houses. Now, this I did do some research on. This was a recipe from the back of the Jell-O box. I don't know when, but they published it in one of the many Jell-O cookbooks. Over the years, it was first published in 1963, which makes sense because in 1963 would have been, you know, the heyday of that kind of a recipe. Well, let me tell you what it is. It's a layer of pretzel crumb crust, a layer of cheesecake like. Yeah. Filling, and a top layer of strawberry Jell-O with either fresh or frozen strawberries. So in 1963, this was published in their book. I'm going to try to find out if it actually appeared on the back of the box before then, but it was definitely developed by Jell-O. And I think rather clever. I haven't made the pretzel crust, but this is so not Arthur Schwartz that I didn't have any of these ingredients in the house.
Yeah, the butter.
No butter in this. Oh, yeah, there is butter. You're right.
And
butter.
Brown
sugar?
Yes,
you make the pretzel crust by crushing the salted pretzels, and one of the recipes I read said use small pretzels, because they're easier to crush. And you crush the pretzels. I haven't figured out exactly how fine or coarse, because I watched the video of this. There are videos of how to make this chill. Everyone, I can't believe. Go online. It's very amusing. So you crush the pretzels. You mix them with melted butter and some sugar. And it seemed the best advice I read was to put it in the oven for 350 oven for 10 minutes. Gets a little caramelized and gets crisp for the end result. The rest of it is no cook. The middle layer in one recipe I read, which may be the one I'm going to try, is cream cheese whipped with sugar and Cool Whip, another ingredient. I haven't bought Cool Whip maybe ever in my life. I never got it. I had no trouble whipping cream.
My grandmother was ill, and they started bringing in different foods to the house. Cool Whip came in,
and they kept
it in the freezer. And I found that, I mean, whatever, it's totally chemical. By the same people who brought you Tang, but the frozen Cool Whip, if you're going to sit on a love seat, you might as well take a spoon and a vat of frozen Cool Whip.
Well, anyway, I don't know. I am going to make this because I'll tell you that Bob loves anything in gelatin, and I know he's going to like this. And he'll like the cream cheesecakey in the middle, but what one recipe says, don't make it with real whipped cream because it will soften the pretzel base, and you want to keep it crisp. And the Cool Whip doesn't do that. Well, of course it wouldn't. It's like plastic.
No, because you don't know.
I read the label. You know what? I don't want to go there.
I'm not going to go there either.
I read the label this morning. So I don't want to go.
Slightly alarming, huh?
So that's why what's convincing me is another recipe I read said you can use whipped cream, but you have to stabilize it. That made sense to me. So to stabilize it, I don't know, if you just beef whipped cream with confectioner's sugar, that usually stabilizes it. And you do want to refrigerate this for a long period.
Because you've got to make the gelatin gel.
It does get a chance to weep, I've got to say. So you have the pretzel crust on the bottom, your whipped cream cheese with, I'm saying folded in whipped cream, and then you top it with this strawberry Jell-O, which is what this is all about because they want to sell Jell-O. Now, in fact, they want to sell you two boxes of Jell-O to make this. You have to buy 2 3-ounce boxes of strawberry Jell-O. And you make it with, I forget, you have to follow directions. Like, it's less water, I think, than usual. Well, it's 2 cups of water. And then you throw in a lot of sliced strawberries, either frozen ones or, if you want to take the trouble, fresh ones. Fresh ones might be nice when the strawberries are good, although this time of the year they're not going to be very good. If you're doing everything else there at Stotts, why not just use, nothing wrong with frozen strawberries anyway. So you put them in the Jell-O and you pour this on top, and then you have to refrigerate it until it's all firmed up. And I'm interested mainly in the bottom two layers, and Bob is interested mainly in the top two layers. So this will be interesting. Also, we have to have some neighbors to eat this.
Well, I have two things, and I guess we're going to run out of time, and I always do this, but I can't help it. One of the yummiest things for breakfast that they could get me to eat, other than bacon, rye toast and bacon, was frozen strawberries, slightly thawed, with heavy cream in it.
Oh, please.
Sliced.
Divine.
Divine. And for special occasions, raspberries.
It's still going to hold up. If you go out today and buy some frozen strawberries and eat it with good cream, you're going to really...
You're just going to feel really good in the morning.
It's also going to be taste the same.
Yeah. So I'm okay with that. And I have to also say that I was one of the people that got faked out with the wonderful 3-layer chem Jell-O that I just begged my mom to get it. You know, it had regular Jell-O on the bottom, some sort of moussey thing in the middle, and then some so-called whipped cream on the top, and it did it all itself. Look that up.
By the way, in my researches on this recipe, which I have will continue, I discovered that it could not. When I first read it, I said, "Well, this could be from the back of a number of different boxes, including Cool Whip itself." However, Cool Whip was not introduced, and I remember this when it happened, until 1966.
Right.
I was already an adult, and the recipe didn't appear in the Jell-O cookbook until 1963. So the Cool Whip did not exist when Jell-O first published the recipe. It had to have been made with real whipped cream.
Oh, I'm sure. And it had to have tasted different, because once you start throwing that stuff in there, it gets kind of fascinating. But we will
continued. Back
exactly.
Box recipes. But I suggest to everybody that if you do like that string bean casserole, that you do try making it from scratch.
Oh, yeah.
It's worth it.
I would think so, too. All right. I think this is a brilliant digression. And so, O Mavenship, we will talk to you when November appears.
All right. Well, we'll talk soon.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye, everyone.